Hey, all, Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new ebook by longtime Future Freedom author Scott McPherson. Freedom and Security, the Second Amendment and the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. This is the definitive principled case in favor of gun rights and against gun control. America is exceptional. Here the people come first, and we refuse to allow the state a monopoly on firearms. Our liberty depends on it. Get Scott McPherson's Freedom and Security, the Second Amendment and the Right to Keep and Bear Arms on Kindle at Amazon.com today. All right, y'all, welcome back. I'm Scott. It's my show. Our guest today is John B. Carroll, writing at the Henry County Report, henrycountyreport.com. And this article, man, it's really something. You got to look at this. Help make it viral. I think it already is, but there you go. Leaked documents reveal Dothan police planted drugs on young black men for years. District Attorney Doug Velasca complicit. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, John?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for inviting me.
I'm doing real good. I really appreciate you joining us on the show to talk about this case. This is a hell of a case. Of course, this kind of thing happens probably from time to time, all the time, right? But this is what you really describe here is a systematic abuse of the system and the way it works that went unchecked for years and years and years. Is that really right?
Yeah, that's right. I sure hope this doesn't go on quite like this. It's sort of a unique circumstance. You have a district attorney that's been in office nearly 30 years, and so then you have he really rules this judicial district. Harvard University ranked it one of the most corrupt in the nation for a good reason, and this is why. And you have a specialized narcotics team that did this for over a decade, and they're now in positions of leadership. They've all covered for one another across the state. So I sure hope our country is not like this. I hope it's more we have bad departments or we have bad officers, but we don't have a system like this that's just horribly oppressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny, you know, when you talk about that, it makes me think of sixth, seventh grade when they teach checks and balances. You know, my teacher, she hated to admit that there was even a reason that anyone would need any checks and balances. But, you know, those radicals, the founders, they just didn't trust executive power enough. And so they created these things where, you know, if stuff was going wrong, that it would be in the interest of other parts of the government for to stop it themselves in order to gain for their own gain, that kind of thing. And this is exactly where something like that is supposed to kick in, right? Some attorney general, legislative assistant somewhere decides that this is how they're going to make their name is by smashing the hell out of something like this. And yet, apparently, no, that did not happen.
Well, that's a really good insight. In this particular case, the district attorney, having been there for three decades, it was parallel with his own brother being in the attorney general's office as a, you know, assistant attorney general and prosecutor for a very long period of time. So any complaints that went from law enforcement officers to the state attorney general, it sure appears that this district attorney's brother was able to shut those down before they ever reached the actual attorney general. And then you have this prospect of literally over 1,000 cases. The person that did the internal affairs investigation, the head of that department, that's his number, not my number. That's his number.
Amazing.
So they all these officers that complained in writing were Caucasian, and they sent files to our then governor Don Siegelman. And so, you know, Don Siegelman thought this was so bad of a problem, he was going to wait to after the reelection to get Washington D.C. to come down the prop to help solve it. And, of course, we know what happened to him. He got convicted of a crime that doesn't exist and sitting in prison.
Yeah.
So
by Washington, D.C.
Right. And I think you also have to say this. We have Senator Jeff Sessions, who was an attorney general back when some of these guys came to power and all this started. So we have evidence that, you know, his office was notified of this and he failed to act. Very disturbing. You got a group of guys that are pathologically in my opinion, against people of color. They have these weird meetings with this kind of neo-Confederate group, and it's just really strange. You know, it's strange for South Alabama. Mm-hmm. And they're in power, and they rule with fear. You know, we have people coming forward, and some of the officers in the police department have admitted that these guys grab young men and put their faces in fire ant beds until they confess to planted crack being theirs. And we have photographs of some of these guys that you're going to see roll out. It's just shocking and unbelievable.
Man. All right, so now, well, just real quick, how many cops are we talking about? Never mind the DA and all the rest of the cover-uppers, but the actual cops out there in the field, how many were involved in this conspiracy at the time, do you think? And we're talking about over the course of years and years here, when I say at the time.
We think it's a core group of about a dozen. I think up to 15 were named in some of the documents on the Internal Affairs investigation.
Wow.
But largely that narcotics team, they have gone on to positions of leadership. Mm-hmm.
And you're saying it was all the cops that weren't on the team, or not all, but cops that weren't on that team were the ones complaining about them. Is that it?
Yeah, there were some on the team that witnessed some of this. They eventually complained in writing. And that's what triggered the Internal Affairs investigation. The outcome of it was so bad, the chief, at the time, he just decided to cover it up, is what we understand. And that's what the documents indicate, because he comes back several months later and lies to the city manager in writing. You see him, you know, appearing to be lying in a deposition in an unrelated case a year later. So you can't really tell which one of his written documents, what the truth is. But what's undeniable is there are hundreds of these guys coming forward. And there's a lot in prison. And somehow the state is going to have to make them whole again, or at least attempt to, and overturn their convictions, clean their records, and try to go after and prosecute the police chief, the assistant director of Homeland Security for the state. And by the way, he announced his retirement yesterday because of this. You know, inside word is they forced him out immediately. His retirement's effective January 1st, so he's the first domino to fall. We think all these guys are going to get prosecuted by the Justice Department.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that part. But so, I mean,
I think that's ominous, and I will say this: the Attorney General has already assigned a special prosecutor to this case, so there's no doubt these guys are going to.
Oh yeah, the U.S. Attorney General has.
The state attorney.
Oh, the state attorney general has.
Yeah, so there's no confusion here. If, you know, these documents are authentic, and we believe they are, you know, we have the author of the documents that's come forward and authenticated them. You know, these guys are going to prison.
Yeah. So, in other words, they're not, at this point, it's finally now a big enough scandal that they're not going to even, it doesn't look like they're even going to try to ignore it away at this point. They're going to go ahead and at least get the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, yeah, they're going after it. You know? And there's a real good question of whether or not the police department has already made an attempt to destroy all the original documents. And that's part of what generated the officers that brought me. I mean, you've looked at 12 or 14 documents. I forget the exact number that we posted. There are 850 of these documents. These guys have covered up murders, you know, of black people. They've even covered up the murder of a fellow black narcotics officer. All this is going to come out. All of it's documented.
Wow.
All of it's authenticated. It's going to keep getting worse week after week after week after week.
And the officer whose murder they covered up was murdered by another one of these cops?
I won't say that yet. It was a murder for hire scheme done by a prominent, you know, Dothan businessman.
Right on. All right. Wow. So, you know, I like honest portrayals of the state from time to time. This is how it works, everybody. This is what business they're in. All right. Well, so everybody hang tight. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Jonathan Carroll. He's writing at henrycountyreport.com. You really got to read this article. There's a lot to it. Leaked documents reveal Dothan Police Department planted drugs on young black men for years. and the DA was in on it too. Right back. Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com. Hey, all Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Roberts & Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. All right, you guys, welcome back. Man, I'm rereading this article during the break here thinking that the entire government of Alabama is going to have to be abolished and then probably best not started over again at all.
We have some good people here. Yeah, and I think it goes, you know.
Maybe you need a civil war or something then. I don't know.
I think the problem is we have some people like this police chief that, you know, wrapped up in the Confederate flag, not at home now, not in a hunting cabin, but he's wrapped up in the Confederate flag in his office. So I think we have people still fighting the Civil War on some kind of, you know, drug. But I want to go back to a point you made that I think is very valuable about the checks and balances. And that's what the judicial system in states like Alabama are lacking. The district attorney can hide behind immunity. He doesn't have to give exculpatory evidence. He can do these types of things and have no real accountability. Now, I think we're going to see a change in that because this isn't a bad apple in a barrel. They can ask for money all they want. Law enforcement, you know, I've worked with law enforcement before. That's not the problem. The system, the discussion to be having in the country is we have a system that was unconsciously designed to be like a host for a really ugly virus. That virus is corruption that can be used to target people of color.
Yeah. Well, and of course, at that point, anybody else, too. I mean, I don't know who else. Maybe these guys weren't framing up white people, but certainly they're operating outside the law all day, every day. I mean, there's no reason to presume anybody they accused of anything ever did anything they said. My point of view.
Now they terrorized this community for 20 years. They have literally, you know, they terrorized this community.
And where the hell was 60 Minutes this whole time, right? Where the hell are, you know, just the basic institutions of our society that are supposed to kick in here?
They've contacted us, and we're going to share information with 60 Minutes gladly, but this place is a landscape of fear here, you know. They threaten me. I mean, personally. So I understand this. You know, I'm like a 6'5", 280-pound redneck with a long beard. So, you know, you probably don't want to threaten me unless you really are serious. But, you know, imagine, you know, if you're a single mother, 5'2", 90 pounds, and two kids, and they take your kids away from you. If you disagree with them or challenge them in court, you speak out. You get drugs planted on you again. That's how these people operate.
Man,
that's horrifying.
And you got 800 documents, you say, to prove all of this.
Oh, yeah. There are all kinds of different cases that are very interesting. It's not just, you know, the common theme is that these guys are targeting people of color. That seems to be, but it's not exclusive. They're poor country whites, you know, that are targeted occasionally.
You're saying they're not targeting crimes at all. They're just saying, there's a guy, let's get him on something, and then they just go get him and make some money.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'll give you an example. They have something called a pretrial diversion program. And there's several million dollars sitting in this account in one of the poorest places in the nation in South Alabama. Just, you know, like $3 million, I think, is the current number. And what they're doing is they're planting dope on people, and they're copying the plea deals and then paying out all this money. And then once they get off of pretrial diversion and didn't have a clean record, they do it all over again. That's the story we keep running, you know, into. And the guys say, look, give me a drug test. That's not my dope. Give me a polygraph test. That's not my dope. And it just doesn't matter. You know, they get court-appointed attorneys. They show up. literally 2 minutes, 3 minutes at the trial. They don't do any discovery. They won't let their clients look at the evidence. They don't even look at the evidence. They never question what these police officers do. And if they do question them, then the judges don't assign them cases. So it's just a corrupt system that has to be changed.
Yeah, and of course, I guess nobody has their own lawyer, right? Everybody, if they have a lawyer at all, it's the court-appointed lawyer.
Yeah, no one can afford an attorney down here. It's a very poor, you know, area.
Sure. And then so you say, and the judges just, where it's that transparent that somebody says, oh, come on, Your Honor, we've seen a million of these, and we know this ain't true. That's the last time they're going to be able to represent somebody up there again, huh?
You got that right. That's how the system works here. It reinforces itself. It closes ranks.
Yeah. Well, and of course, there are 20,000 counties in America. This is going on a lot more places than just in yours, but this may just be, you know, the ultimate kind of example to draw a picture for people so they can see the economic incentives and the way they work on the actors here, you know?
I agree with you. An elderly man that's been part of the civil rights movement, I think he's like 90-something, he told me, he said, Carol, he said, do you see what I see? He said, the plantation is even larger. He said, the shackles are no longer on our ankles. He said, the chains are in these forms of numbers. And he said, we control people. He said, we're all being exploited. I don't know if I go that far, but I will say this. They use the power of the state and technology to monitor, to oppress, to intimidate, and to facilitate what these idiots running around on this narcotics team are doing.
All right,
let me say something. There's a lot of countries where if you grab young kids and stuck their faces in ant beds, you're going to get your ass shot off.
Yeah. Well, and of course, it's all covered up. There's not, any kind of widespread recognition, or maybe within that community there is, but outside it, nobody's ever heard of it. So there's not, you know, any kind of support for any kind of action against it. But so now that you have all these documents, and now that this is such a big deal, because apparently this... You know, the truth of the internal affairs investigation that it revealed, now that it's been revealed, it has made somewhat of a big splash. But how big? I mean, did you make the Post and the Times and USA Today and all of those? Does it, you know, was it a big enough deal?
Yeah. And we got the documents. Our attorney told us that they would do anything to suppress these documents. It didn't matter what the law was here in Alabama.
Yeah, like in the article you say, the original documents are safe in Canada right now. Good move.
We aired them to British Columbia. We started getting threats. First we got offers, job offers. Then we got, you know, monetary, financial offers. Work out an accommodation is the wording. And so I'm like, you know, no. Bye. I know they're safe in British Columbia. From there, we can share the originals with the Justice Department, and we can have copies made available. And slowly, as we authenticate them, we will share them open source to the world.
You know, I think this makes a great test case for, you know, especially, I mean, they got away with it for so long. But, okay, now that they're busted, are they going to get busted or not? And, you know, we have in the case of torturers and a lot of other cases of course, police murders across the country where, no, they got sovereign immunity either outright or de facto, and they can do whatever the hell they want to us and will never be held to account. This is one of those where it's, you know, comic book level super villainy here, and are they going to be able to get away even with this? I mean, I don't know. You seem a lot more confident that they're going to be prosecuted, but I'm willing to entertain your optimism. This seems like the kind of thing where they absolutely have to draw the line, or how can they claim any legitimacy at all?
Oh, if they don't, I think that it, all bets are off. I think that, you know, and I'm not in any way advocating or supporting violence, but I mean, let's be perfectly candid here. If they don't do something about this, you're going to have serious mass violence. I mean, there's just no way around it. The Black Lives Matter group, I first thought they were kind of crazy and over-aggressive, but after some of this stuff that I've witnessed and, you know, looked through the documents and interviewed some of the victims, I mean, they are just out of patience. The system, they have tried everything they can do for the system to change itself, and it has pushed back just as hard. So either the feds can change the system or we're headed down a very bad road in this country.
Yeah. Well, and see, the problem, it can't be, we can't rely on the Justice Department for this. It's got to be the population that cares enough to try to do the right thing. And then that's the real hard part, is it doesn't look like that's really going to change. You know, something like this maybe will scandalize a certain percentage of the white population for a while, but not long enough to really stick, it doesn't seem like.
That's a good insight. I think you're right. There are pockets in this country where even if you take out all the bad actors on the stage, they're just going to replace them with similar or like bad actors. And that's, you know, that's a education and cultural problem.
That's going to require
a long-term solution.
I look at Nelson Linder, who's the head of the NAACP here in Austin, and I'm thinking, well, why isn't he the damn DA? Right? Who says the DA has to be a former prosecutor or you know, a former junior level prosecutor or something like that? How come we don't elect the leaders of Black Lives Matter to be the DA? And we'll see some accountability in the police department. And we'll see who, you know, turns off their body cam right when they're murdering somebody or not. You know what I mean? But anyway,
I'm all on board with that.
Yeah, I don't really believe in democracy. That's the childish me talking, like one day it could ever work like they promised, but I don't really see that right now. Anyway, hey, listen, this is great journalism here. Thank you so much for your time on the show, Jonathan. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for the invite. Great show. Thanks.
All right, that's Jonathan Carroll. He's at henrycountyreport.com. Go read this. Seriously, man. Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org or thewarstate.com.